The Vilna Gaon used to say that you can find the remez in Chumash to all of history, all the things that are going to happen in the future. So Rav Chaim Volozhin on one occasion asked him, where is there a remez for the Rebbe in the Chumash? Where is there a remez of the Vilna Gaon? So he took a Chumash and he mishduf the Parshas Kisetze. He looked and he looked and he looked until he found that it says Evan Shlema Ti Yaloch. The Evan is the Rashi Tevis Eliyahu Ben Shlomo. His name is Eliyahu Ben Shlomo. That's the way the story goes. So then Rav Chaim Volozhin asked him, why did he mishuf the Parshas Kisetze? Why didn't he look in Parshas Shmini or in Parshas Sebahaloyscha? So he says, no, that we live in the Elef HaShishi, we live in the sixth millennium, from the year 5000 till the year 6000. We live Tavshin Samachtas. So the Vilna Gaon lived a few centuries ago. So he lived also in this unit of 1,000 years. So he said, everything that's going to happen in the sixth millennium is merumos in the parshios in Dvarim. And he said, there are 10 parshios in Chumash Dvarim, 10 sedras. Either there are 11 sedras. And he says, no, that Nitzov Vayelech, as we all know, counts as one sedra. I don't know what that means, as we all know, Kayodua. That's what the Rav Chaim Volozhin wrote down. We know that Nitzov Vayelech Kayodua is only one sedra. And so there are really only 10 sedras. So whatever is going to happen in the first century of that sixth millennium is going to be Merumas and Parshas Dvarim. Whatever is going to happen in the second century in the sixth millennium is Merumas and Parshas Vayeschanan. And the Vilna Gaon lived in the sixth century. Kisetze is the sixth sedra. And Chumash Dvarim, so he felt he has to look in the sixth sedra in Chumash Dvarim to find the remez. Yeah. This is of course questionable. We assume that this year is Tavshin Samach Tes, and next year Habal Leinu L'Tayva is Tavshin Ayin. This is a big question. That's what we assume Libriyas Olam. That's based on the assumption. You see, up until Churban Bais Rishon, everything is in Tanakh. Everything says Beferish in Tanakh. When the Beis Hamikdash was built, how many years it was? L'Briyas Olam, that says in Tanakh. But then, and then 7 years in between Bais Rishon and Bais Sheni says in Tanakh. How long the Bais Sheni lasted, that doesn't say in Tanakh. So that the Gemara says, the Godli Yakvoda Bais Azeh Achmen Arishan, and Avi said, second Beis Hamikdash will be more glorious than the first. In what way was it more glorious? It was not at all glorious. So the Gemara says in the beginning of Baba Basra, that it lasted 10 years longer. The second Beis Hamikdash, first Beis Hamikdash lasted 410 years, that says in Tanakh. Second Beis Hamikdash lasted 420 years. In the Goyish history books, they have that the Bais Sheni lasted way longer than that. Lasted 150 years, I'm missing. It was more than 150 years longer. So that's the question, how do you deal with this? The Goyish history books write that each Goyish king ruled for so many years, then after him another king, another king, another king. And everything adds up to another over 150 years. The Gemara says that all those kings are the same person, and they had a lot of different names. So that's a problem. How do you deal with this? According to the Gemara, it's the same person, and it's not Bezach Hazeh. So the Balamor in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah deals with this. He says, we all know that the Gemara is wrong, that the Goyish history books are correct, and the Gemara is wrong. And the Ravid said, Apikeres? What do you mean Gemara is wrong? The history books are wrong. This is an ongoing debate, whether we rely on the Goyish history books or we rely on the Gemara's historical tradition. Some of the Gedolim in Europe wrote in their Svarim. We all know that the Gemara's history is wrong, that Bais Sheni was way longer than 420 years. And the Chazon Ish writes that we don't rely on the Goyish history books. We assume that the Gemara's history is right. So Shaila, which is correct. How do you write, let's say, if it's really not Tavshin Samach Tes this year, it's really Tavshin Samach Tes plus 150, it's way more. So when a husband gives a get to his wife, he's writing the wrong date. That was the date 150 years ago. So what is he writing? So we usually assume we write in a get, Shnasa or an Iksuba, you write like that, Shnas Tavshin Samach Tes, Lebriya Soilam, Elmin Yashon Amon and Kan, Beer, New York. So we're right, according to our calculations, it's correct. Even if it doesn't correspond to reality, even if in truth the Bais Sheni was much longer, and the calculation is not correct, but still, so the shtor is our kosher. The Vilna Gaon, apparently, according to this story that Rav Chaim Volozhin wrote down, the Vilna Gaon assumed that he lived in the sixth century of the sixth millennium. when did the what corresponds to the year 5000 Libriya Salem, the year 1240? So 1340 was the beginning of the second century, 1440 was the beginning of the third century, 1540, 1640, 1740. So the Vilna Gaon lived between 1640 and 1740. So that's why he lived there later also. So that's why he was looking in the sixth Sedra. That's on the assumption that the Baal Sheni was only 420 years. That's how the story goes. So the one who printed this, there's a sefer Emuna Bitochon, based on a lot of things from the Vilna Gaon. Who wrote it? It's the one who wrote the sefer on Hilchas Shabbos, Shvisas HaShabbos. I forgot the name of the author. That's in Halacha. So this he wrote in Hashkofa, much of it based on the Vilna Gaon's Mamar. So he writes that Parshas Kisavoy has the Teicheche in it. So that's in the when did the let's say again, 1240 was the year 5000 to 1340, 1440, 1540, 1640, 1740, 1840. Between 1840 and 1940 was the 7th century, according to this calculation, if you assume that this is correct. Between 1840 and 1940, then 1940 was Topshin. That's the eighth century. So the 7th century was between 1840 and 1940. So one who wrote this sefer wrote it in the end of the 1930s when the Nazis were killing so many Jews. So he says that's the remez, that the Teicheches and Parshas Kisavoy, and that's the remez for the Teicheches. The truth of the matter, I think after 1940 it was worse. They killed more Jews after 1940 than before 1940. But that's the one who wrote this in his sefer, the Emunah Bitochon. He didn't live so long. He died before the end of the Second World War was over. If you keep on going with that, so then Nitzavim Vayelech is the next sedra. That's the ninth. That talks about after 1940. It says about the Jews returning to Eretz Yisrael. And it says about the big tshuva movement. That's what we see in our generation. Tremendous tshuva movement. And about writing Sefer Torah. Everybody and your uncle was writing Sefer Torah. Years ago in Europe, they didn't have so many people writing Sefer Torah. So maybe that's the remez, that's merumez over here. Yeah, but that's Shiloh. This whole Maimra from the Vilna Gaon is all based on the assumption that the Baal Sheni only lasted 420 years. Rabbi Schwab, Zechon Lebrach, lived in the neighborhood, published a book about this topic. What do we do? How do we deal with this? The missing years? So he claims that the Chazal knew that the Baal Sheni was much longer and they falsified it on purpose in order that people shouldn't be Mechashvei Kitzim. The Gemara was upset about those who are trying to calculate when Mashiach is going to come. So when Mashiach is going to come has to do with Cheshbonis and Tanakh. So the Chazal threw it off at least by 150 years in order that people shouldn't become Mechashvei Kitzim. Yeah, if you say it like that, the whole word from the Vilna Gaon is off. In Parshas Kisavo, we read about the Bris, the Teicheche, the two Teicheches in the Chumash, the Teicheche and Mechukai, so the Teicheche and Kisavo. And the concluding Pasuk in the Teicheche in Kisavo writes, Ele Divra Bris, this is the text of the Krisis Bris, Asher Tziva Shams Moshe Lichus Varvis Moyov, Melavar Bris, or Shekari Sita Mechorib. The original Bris at Har Sinai, the text of that Krisis Bris appears in Mechukaisa. That's the Teicheche of the Brachas and Klavos there. And this text of Brachas and Klavos and Kisavai is the Nusach of the Krisis Bris that was made by Arvis Moyov. Why was there a need for a second Krisis Bris? They already entered into a Bris. They already Mechuyiv to observe all the mitzvahs. In the beginning of Parshas Nitzavim, the answer is given. This Bris is different from the first Bris. First Bris was only with those who were present at Har Sinai. The Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, all the neshamas were present, but you can't make a binding Krisis Bris with the neshama. You have to make a binding Krisis Bris with the person who's there. The Gemara says the neshamas were present with respect to a different thing. The Torah says, Lamanti Yerasi Al Panechem Levilti Sechato, that all the people who were present at Har Sinai were so impressed by the Gilui Shechina, it left a lasting impression on them and they and their generations and their future generations, all their descendants. So the Gemara says that the Klal Yisrael have these three midas, Rachman and Bashanim, Gomli, Chasodim. So the Matir Yerasal Pnechim Levilti Sechato, the Gemara says, Zu HaBusha. That's the Midah of Bashanis, Busha. So the Midah of Bashanis was transmitted to all the future generations. How come? Because all the Neshamas were there at Har Sinai. So the Gilui Shechina left an effect on the Neshamas. And the Gemara says, if a person is lacking, Shulchan Aruch, they quote like that, a person is lacking one of the 3 meters, Rachmanim, Vaishanim, Gam Lechasanim, you have to be Boedich, maybe he's not Jewish. Maybe he's a descendant from Gerim. Maybe his forefathers never stood at Har Sinai. So he's not from those people who are impressed by this Gilui Shechina. Maybe he's not Jewish Bechlal, you have to be Boedich Acharov. But a binding contract you have to make with living people. You can't make a binding contract with Neshama. So the original Krisis Bris at Har Sinai was only binding on the people who were there. Here, the second Krisis Bris in Avos Moav says, Ki es asher yeshnam po ve'es asher einenam po. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Shavuos, this is L'Rabbis Doros Arboim. Today, we are obligated to observe all the Din HaTorah because of the second Krisis Bris, not because of the first Krisis Bris.
Well, we weren't there either.
We weren't there either, so why is that binding? Mm-hmm. So the answer is the first bris was made with people, the second bris was made with the nation. So we are all part of that nation. Whenever one nation enters into a treaty with another nation, an agreement, so it's binding even 100 years later because the United States of America is a Hampshire from 1776 and Canada is a Hampshire from what it was when they originally founded. Unless somebody overthrows the government and they start a whole new government, yesh meyayin. But whenever it's a hemshech of the original government, so all the treaties that were entered into, all the agreements that were entered into, are binding. You don't say every time you elect a new president, so you start all over again. Whatever the previous presidents agreed to is binding on the present president as well, binding on the present country as well. So Klal Yisrael didn't attain the status of a nation until they entered Eretz Yisrael. Rashi points out, this HaGemara, on the concluding pasuk here in this whole Arichas, this footnote to the Brachas of Klolos at Arvis Moyav, so it says, Hanis Taros Hashem Elokeinu, V'haniglos Lonol V'neinu Ad Olam. So this pasuk tells us, V'haniglos Lonol V'neinu Ad Olam, La'asos. La'asos means to force other people to observe the laws of the Torah. It doesn't mean to observe the mitzvahs. Aget Me'usa means the man was forced to give a get. So La'asos means La'asos, to force, to enforce the observance of the Torah by other people. So the Pasuk says, when I see someone else is doing an Avera, it's my obligation to see to it that he stops doing the Averas. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Shavuos, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that only began, Mishav Yisrael is Hayarden, after the Mekabal of Brochas the Klolos, the Hagrizim and Harevel. That was really the Gemara of the Krisis Bris. The Rabbanu Shalom, that's our Rav Soloveitchik, because the Rabbanu Shalom wanted the Moshe Rabbeinu should make the Krisis Bris. But the Rabbanu Shalom didn't allow Moshe Rabbeinu to cross over the Yarden. And the second Krisis Bris is supposed to be made with the nation, with the Klal Yisrael as a nation, that it should be binding on the Doros HaBoim. It's going to be made with Yechidim Sabaita, won't be binding on the Doros HaBoim. So Moshe Rabbeinu is supposed to make the Bris, but we don't let him cross over the Yarden. The Bris has to be made in Eretz Yisrael. After you have a national homeland, then you call the nation. Kozman, we didn't have a national home, and we're not called a nation. By the Yom HaSoylem, there is no concept of nation. Al Pidin, the Jewish people are the only ones who are a goy. The goyim are not goyim. Only the Jewish people is a goy. Al Pidin, the goyim are called mishpachas. It's a different halacha lemais. Their mishpachas are different people. They relate to each other in a certain way. Like in a mishpacha, people get along, don't get along, but have uncles and cousins, sons. So mishpacha, different people, they relate to each other in a certain way. A goy, the Radak writes in the Michlo, in his dictionary of Tanakh, that the word goy comes from the word gimel vav, gave, a body, gevi nosati lemakim. Means that the whole Klal Yisrael is considered like one body. So that concept, that Klal Yisrael becomes a goy, that's only if they have a national homeland. If they have, when the Rabbanu Shalom gave us Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbanu Shalom didn't give France to the French, it didn't give Arabia to the Arabs, and it didn't give Russia to the Russians. Al Pidin, they don't have any national homeland. The Jewish people has a national homeland. The Rabbanu Shalom gave us Eretz Yisrael. So we're the only ones who have a tziruf. We are mitziruf to be a goy. The Gemara has this in the end of Maseches Nozir. Maharal Prague has all Arichas on this in his farm, based on the Gemara. It's a Gemara in Nozir. That the concept of kohol and tziruf of a nation is only by Klal Yisrael, by Yom HaSoylem, and you don't have it. So this bris really had to be made in Eretz Yisrael, Meshav Yisrael HaSayayim. But the Rabbanu Shalom wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to make the bris. He's the greatest Navi, but he's not going to cross over the Yarden. So the Rabbanu Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, you begin the bris, and your Talmud, Yeshua Banu, will finish when he does the brachas, the klolos at Hagrizim and Harevel. Rav Sadi Goyen has this poem with the mitzvahs. He lists off all of the mitzvahs. Rav Yeruchim Perla was a businessman, was a balabas, so he worked on these three fat svarim to figure out what exactly is the system Rav Sadia Gaon, how did Rav Sadia Gaon calculate which are the mitzvahs? So based on the poem. So one of the mitzvahs is the brachas that clothes of the Hagriz Ma'arevim. That's a Hayra Shor. Why did this? So he asked. Why did Rav Sadia Gaon count that? You don't count Hayra Shor. He counts to knock on the next on Eber's door before Yitzias Mitzrayim to ask for matonis. That was once in the history of the world. And there are Pesach of Yitzias Mitzrayim. They had a Hayra Shor mitzvah l'shor to knock on the next on Eber's door, the Goyish Mitzrayim, and to ask for matonis. But you don't have such a mitzvah the Doris, so none of the Rishonim count it. Harmis matchala yam of koeu, the Rambam says. Nobody counts that in the minyan mitzvah. So why should Rav Sadia Gaon count over here to have the brachas haklalas, the hagriz maharevel? So Rabbi Ruchem Perla suggests maybe what he meant was that he's counting the din of orvus, kolisol harev mezeh bazeh. That was instituted at that time. He does mean to have the maimed, to have the brachas haklalas, the hagriz maharevel, once in the history of the world. It does make sense that that should be included in the minyan mitzvah. It means the din that was established at that time. That was instituted on the occasion of the brachas to close the hagriz maharevon. The reason why it was instituted is because Kol Yisrael became a goy at that time. It's considered as one body. Up until then, everybody was like yechidim, and from that time on, they were considered a tziruf of a tzibur. So the psukim in the chumash tell you why there was a need for the second krisis bris, because the first krisis bris would only be binding on the yechidim. And the second krisis bris was binding even on the Doris Abayim, because it was made with the Jewish people as a nation. The Gemara quotes a brisa. The Gemara Menachos quotes a brisa from the, it's both in the Sifrei and in the Sifra, commenting on a pasuk in Emor, in Chumash VaYikra. The Sifra has it, and the same pasuk is repeated in Re'ei. In the Parsha Samoadis regarding Sfiras Aimer. So Sfiras Aimer appears twice, once Beloshin Yochid, once Beloshin Rabim. Once it says it's Fartem Lachem, Beloshin Rabim, and then it says Shibishivus Tis Beloch, Beloshin Yochid. So the Tanoim understand that when it's written Beloshin Yochid, it's referring to Sfira Hatluya Bebezin. Beloshin Yochid means a mitzvah on Klal Yisrael. How does Klal Yisrael do a mitzvah? Bez Nagol represents Klal Yisrael, they do the Sfiras Aimer. Then the other Pasik, that means that there's a chiyuv chayvus ayochid. So the Vilna Gaon is quoted as having commented based on that Gemara that it would appear that Tanoim understood whenever you have a parsha that appears twice in the Chumash, once Beloshin Yochid, once Beloshin Rabim. So when it appears Beloshin Yochid, it's speaking to the Klal Yisrael as a whole. When it appears Beloshin Rabim, it's speaking l'chol yochid v'yochid. Here it's interesting. The Techachem B'chukosai, everything is written in the plural. B'chukos the Teilechem, as a Tishmorah, V'asisem, Oisam. Every single pasuk is in the plural. And here in Parshas Kisavar, every single pasuk is in the singular. Why? So that's exactly why. Because the Techachem B'chukosai was the Krisis Bris with the Yechidim. There was not Tzirah Fatzibur yet at that time. So since it's made with Yechidim, L'chol Yochid V'yochid, so that's why it's written B'losh and Rabin, L'chol Yochid V'yochid. That's a bris with the tzibur. So that's why it's written Beloshin Yochid. Beloshin Yochid refers to the tzibur as one entity. The other day we were talking about the four prohibitions of Avodah Zarah, that the Avodah Zarah is also, Noyei Avodah Zarah are also. Let's say you have a getchke that the Nochrim worship, and then they hang on jewelry. Even though they don't worship the jewelry, they only worship the pestle itself, but the jewelry becomes Asabanoah. Then there's a din of Mishamshi Avodah Zarah, the altar is Asabanoah, and the frying pan, and whatever came, the knife that they used to shecht, and then Tekruvus Avodah Zarah. The four different things. So the din of Noye Avodah Zarah, Asabanoah, is based on the pasuk in today's Sedri. Kesef Zohav Asheri Mohem. Gemara Avodah Zarah has a discussion about it. The Kesef Zohav, Vatira Shikutzeim Ezgilu Lehem Eitz Vo'Evin. Could be that Eitz V'Evin is a description of the Avodah Zarah, then Kesef Zohav Asher Imahem is a description of the Noye Avodah Zarah. The Noye Avodah Zarah are also Asabano. Bittul helps on all three, on the Avodah Zarah, on the Noye Avodah Zarah. If you mevatel Avodah Zarah, the Noye become a mele mutter, on the Tachshite, on the Mishamshi Avodah Zarah, Bittul helps, and on the Tekruvus, Bittul does not help. Because Tekruvus, we spoke last week, Tekruvus is also because of its past history. Ashenikin da bidizor, nimshamshe, and the noye are also because of its present status. So if you get a nochri to me, mevatel it, so it's no longer avodizor, it's no longer noye avodizor. But the kruvis is not also because of its present status, but rather because of its past history. So the past history is not wiped off with the bittel. Then the Torah says that after the Jews will be sent, the Churban Haaretz, and the Jews will be sent into Golus, then they will decide to do tshuva. Shafto ad Hashem alakech v'shamata b'kolo, and we will return to Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam quotes this in Hilchas Tshuva, kvar hepticha Torah shesofim shel Yisrael la'asas tshuva. The Torah gives us a haftocha, a promise that ultimately, in achros hayamim, the Jewish people will do tshuva. The Rambam adopts that position from the Gemara that there isn't going to be a geula without any tshuva. The geula is contingent on tshuva, but the end of the days, what will have to happen is that sofim shel Yisrael la'asas tshuva. This is a problem. How can the Torah promise to have sold us a tshuva? The pasuk says later, we believe in mechira chavshis. And Vayelech it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us HaChayim V'amavis, HaToy V'hara, V'charta V'chayim. It gives you mechira chavshis. There's total mechira chavshis. So why is it, how is it possible to make a haftocha? So Shofim Shal Yisrael asks his tshuva. We have mechira chavshis. We may decide to sin to the end of days. So apparently it doesn't make sense. Let's say a person, guy's going to hang out the window. A shtick. He's on the fifth floor. How long is he going to hang out the window? He realizes he's going to fall down. Nishkin Meshugan. So he's going to jump back in. A guy's going to stand on his head. How long is he going to stand on his head? Shtick. He's going to stand on his head for an hour. But then he's going to faint. He can't stand on here too long. So also by the Jewish people, there's an Abba Hanisteris. There's an Abba Hamasuteris. Every Jewish person loves the Rabbanu Shalom. The Rambam has a dinim based on that assumption. The end of Perek Beis in Hilchas Gittin. Sometimes the Bezin forces a man to give his wife a get when the din allows the Bezin to force. So the Rambam quotes the Kasha from the Gemara, isn't that a get bal korchoi? So he quotes the Gemara's answer in Cheska Patim. So the Gemara says that deep down in his heart he really wants to listen to what the Chachamim tell him. He really wants to observe the laws of the Torah. Every Jew has an Ava Hamasuteris towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's abnormal. When a Jew does a sin, it's an abnormal thing. So how long can the Jewish people prove this shtick that they're going to do these stupidities to do Averis? So that's what the Torah says. Kvar hiftich atar shesof mishal Yisrael asas tshuva. The end of the days, the Jew is going to have to do tshuva. It doesn't make sense that we should act in an abnormal fashion forever. It's interesting that the Pasuk says, Shavtar Hashem alakech v'shamata b'kola, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring Shivasiyon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring the Jews back to Eretz Yisrael. So it doesn't say Yoshiv. It says, V'shav Hashem alakech v'shivuscha. That's what we say in this Miris on Shabbos. Yoshiv l'anem ha-kiim, V'shav v'ki beitz. Why does it say V'shav? Kiilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is in Golus. That's the concept of Golus HaShchina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in Golus with the Bnei Yisrael. What is that supposed to represent? What do you mean, the idea of Golus HaShchina? So the Chidor writes in one of his many svarim, he wrote many, something like 80 svarim or something. You need a whole bookcase for all the svarim of the Chidor. So the Chidor writes in one of his svarim, he quotes from the Mekubalim, quotes from Arizal, I think, that that one of the dinim of Golos, when you send a person into Golos, it says, V'chai sham, v'nos alachas halorim ha'el, v'choi. So the Gemara says, what do you mean, v'choi? He has to be comfortable. When a person who goes into Golus, a person that killed B'Shegeg. So you send him into Golus, he's not supposed to suffer. It says B'chai. He's supposed to enjoy life over there. So the Ari Miklat is supposed to be cities with museums and with theaters and drugstores, and it has to be comfortable. They didn't only have the people that killed B'Shegeg. What if nobody killed B'Shegeg? So it's going to be a ghost town. It was a regular city. The Gemara says it shouldn't be too large a city because it's going to be a big metropolis, so the police won't be able to control it, and the Gal Adam will dreza charom, and he's going to catch the murderer and he's going to kill him, even though he's not allowed to. So you don't allow them to make the Ari Mikla too big a city. With too small a city, Taygechnish, because the guy's going to die from boredom. The Ritzech has to go there, the Ritzech Bishag has to go to Ari Mikla. He's supposed to enjoy life there. The Gemara says if he's a person who enjoys learning, so you have to send the Rebbe there every so often to give a shiur for him. Today we'll give him an internet access. He'll be able to listen to the shiur online. But you have to entertain him. It has to be comfortable. So just like The din is that when we send someone into Golis, it has to be b'choy. When asal achas alayim ra'el b'choy, he has to enjoy it. So too, when the Rabbanu Shalom sent us into Golis, the Golis was always very pleasant. Every so often they were killing Jews in an unusual fashion, but usually the Golis was very pleasant. The Jews always made a fortune of money, and the Jews became big shots in the government, and they were big in industry and in business, everything. The Jews were always doing very well. The Jews were doing very well in the Golis. So that's the idea of Golas Hashchina. That just like Talmud Shagolam, Maglin, the Rabbi Ima, you have to make it comfortable for the Talmud. So you send the Rebbe into Golas also. The Rebbe has to go visit him. Doesn't have to sit there kavua. He has other Talmidim in the yeshiva. He has to take care of those Talmidim. So every so often he goes to visit the Talmud in the Ari Mikla. So the Baruch Shalom has to be with us also. He's Talmud Shagolam, Maglin, the Rabbi Ima. This is one of the kavanas of Golas Hashchina. Yeah. How long is the Shechina going to be in Golas with the Bnei Yisrael? Let's say, Talmud Shagola, Maglin the Rabbi Imai. Let's say someone killed B'Shergix, has to go to the Ari Mikla. Then the Kohen Gadol dies, so he can go back. He likes it there. The Ritzel B'Shergix, he likes it in Ari Mikla. And he wants to stay there. He makes a panosa there. It's a nice big city. He became a dentist. He's a local doctor. He's a lawyer, whatever. He lives in Ari Mikla. He has a library. He has a theater. He's making a living there. He doesn't want to go back. So the Rebbe is mechuyev to stay in the Ari Mikla even after the Kohen Gadol dies. Mistam and not. Kol zman that the Harig B'Shoigeg is mechuyev to stay in the Ari Mikla, I know, up until the death of the Kohen Gadol. So then Magen le Rabbi Ima, the Rebbe has to go give shurim to make it comfortable for him. V'chai. But after the Kohen Gadol dies, the Rebbe is not mechuyev anymore. So how long is the Rabbanu Shalom going to be in Golis with us? As long as he doesn't let us go back to Eretz Yisrael. Once we have a Medina, he says, Kindalach, come back there. You like it there in Chutz Lartz. I'm not mechuyev to stay there. So this is a big question. If you probably no longer have the Shechina in Golis. Shechina already went back to Eretz Yisrael. So we really don't, we are not given this haftocha, we're not given this promise that the Shechina is going to be with us in Chutz Lartz forever to keep us comfortable. He's going to be in Chutz Lartz with us as long as we're mechuyev to stay in Chutz Lartz. The minute we have the ability to go back, almost akain agadol, then the Rebbe is not mechuyev to keep on visiting the Talmud, and the Shechina is not mechuyev to stay anymore in the Golis. So we don't have the divine protection of the Shechina anymore. So we should think seriously about not hanging around. The pasuk says that Rabbanu Shalom is going to take us back there. So after the Golus, after the Golus, you'll have it better off than your forefathers had. What? It was Man Baishenid had it better off than the forefathers. They didn't have it better off. There was Tsaras from day number one. There was no Jewish government. There was no independent Jewish government until the days of the Chashmonaim. The Chashmonaim with blood. They had to make a whole war. So what was Vehitivcha v'hirbucha me'avisecha? And they had trouble from the Tzdukim from day number one. There was Apikursus from day number one. There were Machlekes and Keseder. Machlekes lo the Shem Shemaim. Machlekes but the Tzdukim from day number one. So what sense is Vehitivcha v'hirbucha me'avisecha? So there's a famous Yerushalmi. Why is it famous? Because Rab Chaim made it famous. The Rashi Mishnayos quotes this Yerushalmi, Heitivcha v'hirbucha me'avisecha, in the sense of Kiddush Eretz Yisrael. That the first time around in the days of Yishuv Ben Nun, Loines Chayvu, they only became obligated to observe the mitzvah Satlius Baritz in year 15. The first 14 years, Eretz Yisrael didn't have Kiddusha yet. Because the Kedusha rested on the Kibush v'Chiluk. It means the Chiluk is the Gemara Kibush. That is the Kibush Eretz Yisrael. So it took 7 years to be Kibush. That says in Yoshua, it took 7 years to be Kibush Eretz Yisrael. Then the Gemara in Erechin has an oral tradition that just like it took 7 years to be Kibush Eretz Yisrael, it took 7 years to divide Eretz Yisrael among the Shvatim and among the Mishpachas, among the Yechidim. So they were not Neschaivu b'mitzvah Satlo Yisbar, it's still year number 15. The second time around, it says, "Vehitivcha v'hirbucha mi'avasecha, avasechem lo nischayvu b'mitzvah zatlo yizboritz until after kibush v'chiluk. Atem miyad shenechnastem nischayavtem." They were mekadosh Eretz Yisrael right away. There was no kibush. There was no kibush till the days of the Chashmonaim. They didn't have an independent Jewish government. That's the kibush. There was no kibush till the days of the Chashmonaim. So nonetheless, Eretz Yisrael was given the kedusha shniya without kibush v'chiluk. The pasuk uses the verb twice. This pasuk, "Vehiviachas Hashem Kachatz, Asher Yosh Rabisecha V'Yirishto." It talks about Yerusha Rishayna and Yerusha Shniyah. Ashiyosha Abisacha refers to the kibush of Eretz on the days of Yishuv Benun. The Yerushta that was no kibush refers to the Shivas Tzion in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah when they came back to Mekadosh Eretz the second time. So the Gemara has a machlokes Tanaim. The Gemara quotes the Seder Olam. Seder Olam is a history book written by the Tana Rabbi Yosi. The Gemara every so often quotes things from the Seder Olam that are relevant halacha lemaisa. Quotes every so often, not too often, from the Seder Olam. We have the Seder Olam; it's available in print. So the Seder Olam, most of the Rishonim follow that shita Rabbi Yosi. Yerusha Rishonim Shnei Eshlam Shlishi Sein Lahem, that after the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Kedusha Saaretz was not paka. The Kedusha Rishonim was only kitchen l'shaita, but not kitchen l'asilava. At the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, the Kedusha Saaretz was nizbatla. But at the time of Churban Bayis Sheni, the Kedusha Eretz Yisrael was not nizbatla. That's a rov Rishonim hold. Most of the Rishonim hold like that. There's some Achrayim want to say there's a Rashi in Sanhedrin, and the third parak on Sanhedrin. Rashi, they think maybe Rashi thinks the Kedusha Shni was batla. And the Bir Agro in Yerideya, and Simin Shin Lamed Aleph. Simin Shin Lamed Aleph has the whole Seder's rhyme in one easy lesson. All Chumas and Mises and everything in one Simin. That's what that Pas HaShulchan, the Talmud of the Mother Gemara. They came back to Eretz Yisrael in the early 1800s. It's not enough Simin Shin Lamed Aleph. So he wrote a whole Sefer Pas HaShulchan to expand on all the dinim, to explain more details about the mitzvah of Satlias Baretz. But in the days of the tour lived in Chutz Laretz. So was he going to write all the mitzvot Tlis Baretz? It wasn't too relevant. So he wrote Regal Achas. So the Bir Agra there in Shin Laman Al quotes from the Sefer HaTrumah, the Rabbeinu Baruch, the Baal Sefer HaTrumah. His opinion, it clearly is, that the Kedusha Shnia was Batla. In other words, he Paskin is against the Tana Rabbi Yosef. Most of the Rishonim accept this opinion of Rabbi Yosef based on the Pasuk. Yerusha Rishonim Shnia Yesh Lehem Shlishi Sein Lehem, because the Kedusha Shnia was kitchalasi lava. That's the question. Why should that be so? So that's a famous Rambam in Hilchas Beis Abchira. The Rambam discusses why was the kedusha rishayna batla and the kedusha shniya was lay batla. So the Rambam sounds like he says that the kedusha rishayna was based on kibush, on conquering of the land. So once the Jewish conquest was undone at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, so then the whole kedusha rishayna was paka. But the Kedusha Shniyah didn't have a kibush to begin with. It was never based on kibush. There was no kibush till the days of the Chashmonoi. So since it wasn't based on kibush, what was it based on? The Ashuas HaShchina. The Rabbani Shlom said he's going to be Mashu Shchinos even without any kibush. So the Shchina lo bitelu. So the Rambam sounds like he's giving that as the explanation. The Rambam says that the Kedusha Samigdosh also is not based on kibush. The fact that the Shlomo HaMelech built the first base Samigdosh, and Shlomo was Mekadosh, David was Mekadosh. The Gemara says in Zochem, David was Mekadosh. Tosis has a difficulty. How could David be Mekadosh? The Gemara says he can only be Mekadosh. The Gemara says in Shavuos he can only be Mekadosh. The Makom HaMikdosh, the Shas Binyan, said David HaMelech didn't build it. So how was he Mekadosh? So that's an issue. So David and Shlomo were Mekadosh, but the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdosh wasn't based on Kibush. So the Rambam writes, in his opinion, that the Kedusha of the Mikdash was never batla from day number one. From the days of Shlomo HaMelech, it was never batla. And the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam. The Ravid thinks that Adarabha, Kedusha's HaMikdash was batla. Okay, that's a different shayla. But here, most of the Rishonim assume, like the Tana Rabbi Yosi, that it says in the Pasuk twice the verb, Ashiyosh HaVasecha V'Yirishta, Yirisha Rishonim Shniya Yesh Lahem, Shlisha Sein Lahem, because the Kedusha Shniya was Kitcha Lasi Lava. So the pasuk describes about this havtocha kvahivticha atarsh esofim shal yisor lasas tshuva. So the pasuk, the next parsha says ki hamitzvah hazos ashanuchim mitzavcha yom lo nefleisim emecho v'lo yirecho kehi lo bashamayim hi. What is the mitzvah hazos? So this is a big machlokes. The Rambam in the Ramban. The Rambam seems to have understood this parsha refers to Talmud Torah, the Gemara. The Gemara also says it refers to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Lo bashamayim hi, lo meiver layam hi. The Torah beficha bavavcha lasoso. It's not so difficult. You can learn Torah here. You shouldn't think the Torah is only in Eretz Yisrael. Torah was only in Europe, and you have to go climb up to the top of Har Sinai. No, it's lo bashamayim, lo meiver layam, beficha bavavcha lasoso. This mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That's how the Gemara understands. That's how the Rambam quotes it. The Ramban in his commentary on Chumash assumes that this is alluding to the mitzvah of tshuva. That's one of the mitzvahs. One of the Taryag mitzvahs at Torah is a mitzvah to do tshuva. The psukim right before say, we will do tshuva. Ki yavar alecha kol adorim ha'ele, v'shavta ar Hashem alakecha, you'll do tshuva. Kva hefkechot ha'esh yosef, m'shal yisrael la'asas tshuva. So the pasuk says that this mitzvah of tshuva is not so difficult. Ha'mitzvah zos, mitzvah of tshuva, lo nefleisi memchok, not so difficult. It's easy to do tshuva. That's a question. Why did the Rambam count the mitzvah of tshuva as a separate mitzvah? You're mechuyev to observe Shabbos and Kashrus. You're mechuyev to observe tzitzis and tefillin. We're mechuyev to observe 612 mitzvahs. So what do you mean? If we did an avera, so we're mechuyev to observe Shabbos. Of course you have to do tshuva. You have to observe Shabbos. So why do you need another mitzvah of tshuva? The mitzvah of tshuva is just a repeat of the other 612 mitzvahs. You have to live up to the obligations of the 612 mitzvahs. So when the Rambam writes what the mitzvah of tshuva is, so he writes, when the person does tshuva, he should recite vidui. So the Menachos Chinuch suggests maybe that's why the Rambam counted it as a mitzvah. The mitzvah of tshuva per se is a repeat from the 612 mitzvahs. You have to keep Shabbos and Kashrus and Tzitzis and Tefillah. You don't need a mitzvah of tshuva. The mitzvah of tshuva means, as the Rambam says, kishiyoshev achoyte mecheto, he should recite vidui. So that's one suggestion, that there is no mitzvah of tshuva. It's really a mitzvah to recite vidui when you do tshuva. Others think that it's not so, that the mitzvah is to do tshuva. Isn't it a repeat of the 612 mitzvahs? So that's what there's what to discuss. There's what to talk about. So the Ramban also meant Talmud Torah, not totally different from the Gemara. Okay, because the Gemara says that it goes on Liman HaTorah. Lo b'shamayim hi ulai me'eva layam, goes on Liman HaTorah. Okay. Then the Torah formulates the principle of Bechira Chavshis. This is one of the Ikarim in our Emunah. We believe in Bechira Chavshis. In fact, the Rambam starts off one of the Prokem in Hilchas Tshuva. Instead of calling it Bechira Chavshis, like we use the term today, he calls it Rishus L'chaladim Nesuna. Same thing, but it sounds like it's a little even more than Bechira Chavshis. Usually Bechira Chavshis, Rav Soloveitchik suggested like this, Bechirot in modern Hebrew, in Eretz Yisrael, Bechirot is the elections. So you go to the elections, and they give you a choice of a whole bunch of, they give you 25 candidates, and you pick the one that you want to vote for. So that's a Bechira. So Bechira Chavshis would mean, let's say the parents give the child a Bechira, we give you the choice to go either to this yeshiva, to that yeshiva. So he picks which one of two yeshivas. We believe that there's more than a Bechira, there's a Rishus. The parent can say either this yeshiva, that yeshiva. Kid says, I don't want to be religious at all. I got to go to college. Or the parents give him a choice, which college do you want to go to? He says, I want to go to be Jewish. I want to be religious. I want to go to yeshiva. We believe in more than Bechira Chavshis. We believe in Rishus, Chalalam Nesuna. You have the ability to make a choice to choose to do something that wasn't even presented to you. To choose an option that wasn't even presented as an option. That's mamish yesh me'ayin. That's what there's a sefer Beis Elokim that's written by the Mabit. The Mabit was a contemporary of Rabbi Yosef Karo in Tzfat in the 1500s. So he wrote a sefer on Hashkof that's called Beis Elokim. It's reprinted many times. Many of the Achronim quote this sefer. So the Meshech Chochma on Parashas Bereishis quotes from the Beis Elokim on the pasuk that man was created b'tzelem elokim. What does that mean? Tzelem elokim means b'chira chavshis. And what way is it b'chira chavshis? That just like when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he created yesh me'ayin. There was nothing pressuring God to create the world. Totally out of his ratzon, pure ratzon. So too, there's nothing pressuring people to make any decision. A person can decide There are always considerations. Look, if I'm going to decide, my parents are not religious, I'm going to decide to be religious. They may cut me off from their will. Or the parents are religious, I've decided I don't want to be religious. So the parents will throw me out of the house, so life will be miserable. They're not going to give me any support anymore. So there are considerations of comfort. Life is going to be more comfortable if I go along with the flow. Whatever the flow happens to be, the flow, everybody's Ovid Avodah Zarah, will also Ovid Avodah Zarah. Everybody's religious, will also be religious. So life will be more comfortable if I go one way, but there's nothing forcing people to make a decision in one way or the other. Our decision to do mitzvahs or averis is completely yesh me'ayin, just like the Rabban Shalom's decision to create the world was purely yesh me'ayin. So our decision in all of our facets of life is completely Yesh Me'ayin. That's a big Iker and Emunah that in our generation almost all the psychologists don't accept. They believe that every person is born with a computer system in his mind, and everything is already programmed in such a way that when he's going to be holding by Shiduchim, he's going to marry that kind of a girl. And when it comes to this issue, he's going to make a decision in that direction. And in that direction, they don't believe in Mechira Chavshis. I remember up as a couple of years ago, they had in the New York Times in the book review section, so someone reviewed a certain book, and he was assuming that there's no Mechira Chavshis. And he had a couple of kashas. So someone sent in a letter to the editor. Maybe the Teretz says that there is Mechira Chavshis. Is that Rav Pala Kashas? Oh, that never occurred to the other guy. It's so ingrained in the attitude of modern people today. All the psychologists, they don't believe in Mechira Chavshis. So if you take courses in psychology, be aware. You should know that that's against our religion. That's an Iker and our Munah. We believe in Mechira Chavshis. Some of the Rishonim also thought that there's no Mechira Chavshis. Aye, but it's an Iker and our Munah, it says. So they farem for the Kasha, they said, man doesn't have Mechira Chavshis to choose to do mitzvahs or averis. Everything is nigzam and hashamayim. He has his mind is programmed. He's born in such a way. All the decisions are made, but he has bichira chavshis either to be happy or to be unhappy at the time that he's doing the mitzvahs or the averes. So the reward and punishment schar v'yonish only makes sense if the person has bichira chavshis. The Rambam says it's not bichira chavshis. So why does he deserve reward for doing mitzvahs? Why does he deserve punishment for doing averes? So these rishonim also they thought. There has to be some Bechir Chavshis, but on the other hand, it can't be. So they gave a teretz, a dot tzvei dinim. There's no Bechir Chavshis to make the decision what you're going to do, but there is Bechir Chavshis to be happy about it, to be sad about it. Logically, I don't think they farem for the kasha. If there's no Bechir Chavshis, everything is programmed, so whether you're happy or you're sad is also programmed. Teretz says, there is Bechir Chavshis. We do believe in Bechir Chavshis. So that's in the Sedra. We certainly have Bechira Chavshis. That's why we call it Bechira Chavshis, because it says Ovacharta
V'chaim. Part of those Rishonim who say if you're happy or sad, that's what you have to do for. So if you're happy when you do a mitzvah, if you're sad when you're not there, that's what you get tzchar for?
Yeah, that's how they fire in for the cash. Yeah, but logically they didn't answer anything. If everything is computerized, if the decision to do mitzvahs aver is built into the computer, so the decision to be happy or unhappy is also built into the computer. The answer is that there is Bechira Chavshis, there is Bechira Chavshis on the main decision also.
Why didn't
you said before that
Amam Zeteris means an inclination. People have an inclination. Some people enjoy eating. Some people enjoy money. There are inclinations. So Amam Zeteris, that the normal inclination of the Jewish people is that we have an Abba towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says in Maseches Nida that the Malach teaches the baby Kol HaTarakul before he's born. So we assume that that's where that Avraham Soteris comes from by the Jewish people. By the Yom HaSalem, you don't have that. The Yom HaSalem are created, but Tzelem Alakim, and that's as far as it goes. But Bnei Yisrael have more than Tzelem Alakim. They're Barim Lamakim, and the Malach teaches Kol HaTarakula. Even though the Malach makes the baby forget everything that he learned, the Gemara says the Malach slaps him and he forgets everything. So why did he waste his time in the first place to teach him everything? So the answer is, in order to implant this Avraham Soteris towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That means that that's an inclination. That's deep, deep. In his personality, we assume that that's what he really wants. But he still has Bechira Chavshis to not to do it.
Why in the Rambam count Bechira in the Yigim Lekim? And if someone's covering Bechira and believes in all the other Yigim Lekim, you can have the dinim of a Mummer or a Shumad?
Yeah. They're more Ikori Hamunah. They're more than the Yud Gimel Ikori Hamunah. It's a big problem. How did the Rambam decide only to count 13 and others he didn't count? It could be that it's historical. It could be that he only counted those that there were big fights between Christianity and Islam and the Jewish religion. Maybe that's why they all believed in Mechira Chavshis. But it certainly is Amunah. It certainly is a Nikir and Amunah. We believe that Klal Yisrael is the Yama Nifchar. That's also a Nikir and Amunah. The Klal Yisrael is the Yama Nifchar. We believe that the Jewish history is Lamaila Menateva. The Ramban HaChumash says whoever doesn't believe that is missing a Nikir in our religion. And many Ikorim, more than what the Rambam listed. It's a question. Why did the Rambam only count 13? There are more than 13 Ikori Hamunah. So this pasuk of v'charta v'chaim al pi pasht, this is not a mitzvah, v'charta v'chaim. V'charta v'chaim means you have b'chira chavshis. It's a statement of fact, you have b'chira chavshis. And Bona Shalom is commanding us to keep all the 613 mitzvahs, to do all the mitzvahs properly. The Sefer Charedim has his own cheshben of mitzvahs, and he counts v'charta v'chaim as a mitzvah. What is the mitzvah of v'charta v'chaim? So he says, this is the mitzvah of Sveika deraisa lechumre. There is a machlokes of Rishonim, but the Sveika deraisa lechumre is a din deraisa or a din derabbanan. Most of the Rishonim think that it's a din deraisa, and the Rambam and the Ravid both think that it's only a din derabbanan. So, Mechudish Dikei Rambam and the Ravid agrees with him that Sveika deraisa lechumre itself is only midirabbanan. So the Sefer Haredim thinks that that's the meaning of this pasuk. Ovacharta ovachayim, whenever there's a suffix, you should go to Chumrah, or Vacharta Vachayim. Reb Shimon Shkop has in his Sefer Shari Yosha a whole mahalach, a whole suggestion that the Sveika Deraisa L'Chumrah is not the original din itself. It's not that it may be Chazer. It's a Misofik, you're not allowed to eat Chazer. He says, no. Whenever you're Misupik, it's not really Chazer. But it's a separate din, Sofik Deraisa L'Chumrah. So according to the Sefer Haredim, that is clearly the case. He counts Sveika Deraisa L'Chumrah as a separate mitzvah, Vacharta Vachayim. Whenever you have a Mokum Sofik, he doesn't assume that it's included in the din of chaza. You're not allowed to be machal Shabbos, so if you're not sure, so you better not do the act of chilul Shabbos. It may be that you're doing an avera. He assumes no mitzad Shabbos, mitzad kashrus. He wouldn't be muzer from doing it. It's a new mitzvah v'charta v'chaim to go l'chumrah. We have one of the mitzvahs in the Torah, who's uladof kavo. Ovo sidbok, a mitzvah to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How is one supposed to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Gemara has discussions, the Rambam and the Sefer Mitzvahs talks about it. But this is clearly one of the mitzvahs of the Torah, Ovo sidbok.
What are the other Rishonim learn, Sadek Derayt
L'Chumra? They read it in Psukim. That you have a pasuk that teaches you that Sofik Mamzer was Mutam and Atarah. So the Mashmoah says that every other Sofik would have been awesome and Atarah. So it's the Mashmoah of the Psukim. There's a few exceptions to the rule. The Sofik Deraisa is Lakula. So we assume those are the exceptions. In all the other cases, we assume that a Sofik Deraisa would be Lakhumra, not Lakula. Each halashud is with the Rebbe. Each Shiraim. That's what the Rambam writes. He quotes the Gemara. You should eat with Talmid HaChachamim. You should always associate with Talmid HaChachamim. You should try to... Talmid HaChachamim are supposed to have midas of elokus. Unfortunately, it's not always the case. Unfortunately, a lot of people whom we think are Talmid HaChachamim are not such great Talmid HaChachamim. If they would have been such great Talmid HaChachamim, they would have had midas of elokus. If they would have learned so much Torah, they would have already developed the midas of elokus. So the Gemara says, how can one imitate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So we assume that Talmid HaChachamim probably worked on themselves till they developed the midas of Elokus. So you should become close to Talmid HaChachamim and pick up the midas, imitate Talmid HaChachamim, imitate the midas that they have. Yeah, sometimes you have a Talmid HaChachamim who doesn't have midas tovus at all. So you're not Yoytzi Uvoi Sidbok. Uvoi Sidbok only works on the assumption that the Talmid HaChachamim has embodied within himself the midas of Elokus. You have to pick a real Talmid Chacham to be dovik with. Then the Torah in Parshas Vayelech starts the mitzvah of Hakel. Once every 7 years we have a mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah Deraisa. The Gemara says that Kriyas HaTorah Sheni V'Chamishi is only a Takana as Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Beis Dinoi made a Takana. Then Ezra enhanced the Takana that we learn Kriyas HaTorah. Shabbos and Yontav is a question. Some Rishonim say the Ramban and the Ritva, they hold that Kriyas HaTorah and Shabbos and Yontav is a Din Daraisa. Ramban on Parshas Emor writes it is based on the Pasuk Mikra Kodesh. Mikra means a day of holy assemblage. Kruy Ha'eda means to gather together. The Ramban translates Mikra Kodesh that we should all get, Klal Yisrael should gather together for holy purposes, not some to have fun. to play pinochle together on Shabbos and Yom. No, because we should gather together. Tefillah b'tzibur is the raisa, and Kriyas HaTorah and Talmud Torah b'tzibur is the raisa. The Ramban is the one who's of the opinion that tefillah b'chol yom is only the Rabbanon. The Rambam holds that tefillah b'chol yom once a day, every day is the raisa. Ramban disagrees that tefillah b'chol yom is only the Rabbanon. But tefillah b'tzibur, the Ramban says, on Shabbos and Yom, that's the raisa. Tefillah b'chol yom is only the Rabbanon, and tefillah b'tzibur on Shabbos and Yom is the raisa. Mikra Kodesh. The Ramban thinks that included in Mikra Kodesh, the day of holy assemblage, is that the Rav should give a shir in Bitzibur, in public. Not stam, everyone should learn Mechavrusa, everyone should learn privately, learn Mechavrusa. There should be a public, there should be a gathering. There should be Talmud Torah Barabim, Kriyas HaTorah Barabim, and Shir Barabim. That's a kiyum, according to the Ramban, that's a kiyum of Mikra Kodesh. If I'm not mistaken, I think the Beis Yosef in Hilchas Pesach, when the Tur writes all the dinim of the Nusach HaTfilo, for Yontif, so the Torah writes that part of the Nusach is that you say Mikra Kodesh. I don't know, do we say Mikra Kodesh? But in the old Tfilas it says Mikra Zechel Tzis Nsayim. Right, so the Beis Yosef thinks that the Mesadri HaTfilah, those who composed the Nusach, apparently thought like the Ramban, that Mikra Kodesh is referring to davening, Tfilah B'tzibur, that's why they put it into the davening. If it just means we should declare the day as a holy day that it's also b'malacha, so why should you mention that in the Nusach HaTfilah? But if it's referring to Tfilah B'tzibur, so then we understand why we mention it in the Nusach of the Shemoneh Esrei. He thinks that from the Nusach of the Davening, Beis Yosef writes, from the Nusach of the Davening, you see that the Mesadri HaTfilah thought like the Ramban. Yeah, so that's a question. Others assume that Kriyas HaTorah Shabbos Yom Tov is only the Rabbanim. So is there any Kriyas HaTorah that's the Raisa? So Tosis digs up Parsha Zohar. Tosis thinks Parsha Zohar is the Raisa. Then in Shulchan Aruch there are those who think Yesham and Parsha Zohar is the Raisa. Here, Hakel for sure is the Raisa. Once every 7 years, Hakel is the Kriyas HaTorah that's the Raisa L'chol HaDeis. No room for debate. There's nothing to argue about. It's a mitzvah saseh shehazman groma. It's on Chalamoit Sukkis, the Matzoi Shnas HaShmita, once every 7 years, clearly a mitzvah shehazman groma. And nonetheless, the Gemara says it's an exception to the rule that women are mechuyev. There are so many exceptions to the rule. Women are mechuyev and matzah, even though it says man groma. Women are mechuyev and kiddush, even though it says man groma. There are perhaps more exceptions to the rule than there are all mitzvahs that are governed by the rule that women are potter for mitzvahs as man groma. But this is one of the exceptions to the rule that they have to learn Kriyas HaTorah. This is a question: how do you visualize? There are millions of Jews. How do you visualize Kriyas HaTorah? How's the Melech? The Mishnah describes the Melech lanes. The Pashtus is that the Melech is not Leikuva. The Shnas HaShmita is Leikuva. We don't have. We assume there's no Shmita Deraisa Bizman Hazeh. According to those who are so opposed to the Heta Mechira and Eretz Yisrael and Shnas HaShmita, so there's what to be opposed to. But those who oppose, they say, no, Shmita Bezman HaZeh is their Isa. So if Shmita Bezman HaZeh their Isa, they should do Hakel. No, so they're opposed to Hakel also. Not only not allowed to do Hakel, not allowed to do Zecha LaHakel. It's an Aveira. Not allowed to do Hakel. They should be Mechiv. If Shmita is their Isa, they should do Hakel. The Melech, there's no Melech. The Melech, Alpi Pashtus, is not Me'akev. So let Rav Yashiv lane. You don't need a Melech. If you have a Melech, the Melech lanes. You don't have a Melech, so someone else lanes. We know the Shemitah B'zman HaZeh is only the Rabbanon. Rav HaRishonim hold, the Shemitah B'zman HaZeh is only the Rabbanon. So they only introduced Shemitah, they never introduced Hakel mid the Rabbanon. Hakel is only Min HaTorah, and Metzoy Shnas HaShemitah. So how do you visualize? You have a couple of million Jews? How are they going to hear Kriyas HaTorah? It's impossible. It's a question. How do you physically do this Kriyas HaTorah? Unless Rabbi Schwab once told me, he had a suggestion. He said, maybe the Melech lanes, it takes a couple of hours. He keeps on laning and laning and laning. The Mishnah describes how much laning. How can people stand there and listen to so much? So he had a suggestion. Maybe everybody walks in and listens to a pasuk or two, and they walk out. Everybody's online. You have 1,000 people standing there listening. Then they heard a couple of psukim next shift. Then they hear a few psukim, and then the next shift comes in. He once asked me, am I familiar with what it says in Josephus? He thought that Yeshiva University, we all sit and read Josephus. I said, I apologize, I never read Josephus. He said, maybe it's described in Josephus. He wanted to know, is there any way to check? Was there anybody there, Bizman Abayis, who describes the way they did Hakel? I don't know. We should take a look in Josephus to see if he has any description. I don't know. So Hakel for sure is a Kriyas HaTorah D'Oraisa. You have to say Brichas HaTorah before and after. Usually all brachas can be recited in translation. Let's say a person doesn't know Hebrew. So the halacha says he can daven in English, he can say Kiddush and Avdol in English, he can bench in English, he could even recite Kriyat Shema in English. It has to be a correct translation. You can fulfill the mitzvahs in English. And the Mishnah has, there are certain rare occasions, there are certain brachas that can only be recited in the original Hebrew. So one of them is when the Kohen Gadol lanes, when the Kohen Gadol gets the Ali and the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur, that's a Kriyas HaTorah deraisa. The Gemara learns that from Sukkim. The Kohen Gadol has to lane Kriyas HaTorah, the whole Seder Avodah, he has to lane. So the Birchas Kohen Gadol before and after has to be davka in the original Hebrew. He's not Yetziv, he says in translation. And the Birchas HaMelech, when you have the Hakel, so the bracha on the Hakel also has to be davke in Loshna Kodesh, that you're not Yotze in translation. That's a Mishnah and Sotam, Perek Elan Amorim. The Mishnah lists off which brachas, which tefillas can be recited in translation and which not. So it says that the Birchas Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur and the bracha of the Melech on the Kriyas HaTorah by Hakel has to be davke in the original Hebrew. Is there any halacha which Sefer Torah you're laying from? So the Daf Yomi people just ran through the beginning of Bava Basra. So the machlok is there, Rashi and Tosis. Tosis quotes a Rashi, I think it's on Daf Yud Gimel. Rashi writes that for Hakel and for the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, you need the Sefer Azara. Sefer Azara had a special status. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote a Sefer. It says, when he finished writing the Sefer Torah, he gave it to the Levim, and he said, "In Satamosa b'tzadar b'ris Hashem b'hoi Hashem b'chol yed." They should have that Sefer in the Azara. And the Sifrei says on the Pasuk Ma'ono Alekei Kedem that there was a suffix during the time of Baisheni. Half of the Sifrei Torah in Eretz Yisrael were written Ma'ono and half of the Sifrei Torah were written Ma'on. So they didn't know which is the correct tradition. You're supposed to write the Sefer Torah correctly. You're not supposed to have an extra letter. You're not supposed to be missing a letter. So there was three Svarim in the Azara at that time. So two of the Svarim said Ma'ono and one said Ma'on. So they went Basar Roiv. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, why did they only check the three Sefer Torah in the Azar? If you're going Basarav, they should have checked all the Sefer Torah in the world. They should have sent out postcards to everyone and sent out a response. What is the Nusach and your Sefer Torah? So he thought, apparently, the Sefer Azar has a special status, Halpidin, that is supposed to be the official text of the Sefer Torah. And whenever you have a Sefer, you get checked with that. So at that time, there were three Sefer Torah in the Azar. What does it mean a Sefer Azar? Sefer Torah that happens to be in the Azara? No, Sefer Torah that's copied from the Sefer HaAzara. Sefer HaAzara, whenever you write a Sefer Torah, so the Gemara says he's supposed to have another Sefer Torah in front of you, he's supposed to copy from that Sefer Torah. So the din is that the Melech has a Chiyuv. Hoy kishiv tal kisei mamlach tu bekoso los mishnah Torah hazois. Lefnei hakoanim ha-halavim. So the Rambam quotes in Hilchus Malachim, the Rambam quotes from Tosefta and Masechus Sanhedrin, that the Sefer Torah Shemelach has to be also copied from another Sefer Torah. He says it has to be copied from the Sefer Azara. So the Sefer Torah Shemelach, because it's copied from the Sefer Azara, if it would have been kept in the Azara, it would also have the status of a Sefer Azara. The Melech takes it with him all the time, so that doesn't have the status. So if you have a Sefer Torah that's copied from the Sefer Azara, and it's held in the Azara, so that has the status of a Sefer Azara. So Rashi Shita is that the Kriyas HaTorah by Hakel and the Kriyas HaTorah on Yom Kippur is a special din, a din de Raisa Pipash. It has to be Dafka from the Sefer Azara. Taisa says they don't know where in the world Rashi got that idea from. No source. Machalik is Rashi and Taisa in the first, I think it's Daf Yud Gimel in Bava Basra. Did the Sefer Azara have a special status? Rashi says it certainly did have a special status. What is the purpose of Kriyas HaTorah Hakel? So the Mefarsh Machumish explained, the farmers took off a whole year. Most of the people were farmers in the days of the Tanakh. Farmers weren't doing any work all year. So what they do, they twiddle their thumbs, they watch television the whole year. So a lot of Rishonim say that taking off a whole year is in order that they should sit and learn. So when the year is over, Ashani, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, the year is over, so this is the final big maimed of Hakel. Everybody listens to Kriyas HaTorah together. Now they go back. Now they have to go back to the real world and work for another 6 years and then hope that they'll survive. They hope that they'll live to the next Hakel. They should be, the next Shemitah, they should be able to take off a year and learn Torah and then to participate in the next Hakel. This is to give a chizuk for learning. And the purpose is everybody should be Leman Yishmo, Leman Yilmundu, V'yoru es Hashem Elokeichem. It should be, the Rambam writes that the Maimed of Hakel should be like a repeat of Maimed HaSinai. Just like a HaSinai. They were all given the charge to observe all the Torah mitzvahs, and now they're going to go back to the 6 years of working. This year they were learning a whole year. Now they're going to go back to working, so they should listen to the Kriyas HaTorah and be impressed by it. They should impress them with Yiras Hashemayim. V'neim asher lo yodu yishmu v'lomdu l'yiras Hashem elokechem kol hayomim sh'at mechayim al ha'adama v'chulei v'chulei. Yeah. Then the Baruch Shalom tells Moshe Rabbeinu, he's soon about to die. After you die, you realize that the Jewish people will violate Avodah Zarah. Him chashech ma'avasecha v'koma ma'azeh v'zanach v'elehei nechar ha'oretz. They're going to worship Avodah Zarah. I'm going to punish them. And he gives again the whole story. The Baruch Shalom says, Anochi haste raste pane b'yamahu. There's going to be a period of hester panim. Histarti fanai mehem. Says twice. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Then it's repeated in Pasuk Yud Ches. There's going to be hester panim. What does it mean hester panim? So often people translate incorrectly, they say the Rabbanu Shlalom sometimes removes his Ashgacha Pratis. He's not watching over the Jewish people, so anything can happen. Anything can happen. We're left up to Mikra. We're left up to Mikra. There's no Ashgacha Pratis. So the Mefarshim on the Gemara explained that that's not what it means. Hestepanim means that there is Ashgacha Pratis. The Rabbanu Shlalom is pulling the strings from behind the scenes. We just don't see him. He is hidden. He is Metzis Midach Harakim. Like if a person is standing by the open door, so I see that he's there. If the door is closed and there's a crack in the door and the person is peeking through the crack or peeking through the keyhole, so he can see what's happening inside, but the people inside cannot see him. So when the Rebbe Shalom does a Hestepanim, means that he is hidden. We don't see him, but he's really Metzis Midach Harakim. He's leading all of history in the direction that he wants. How do we understand that's the direction that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants? That they killed so many Jews, the Nazis killed so many Jews and tortured so many people, and through the history of the Jewish people, how can it be? Okay, so we don't understand, but it doesn't mean that there was no Hashgacha Pratis. We believe there was Hashgacha Pratis, just that we couldn't see the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Gemara in the first parak in Chagiga tells a story that one of the Minim are usually assumed to be the early Christians. Some say that the word Min is a Rosh Hashanah, Mekat Yeshua Notzri. And the original Christians. So one of the Minim had a debate with one of the Amoraim in pantomime. That's how they made up. So, and they had this debate in the presence of the Kesa, in the presence of the governor. And so the Meshumad, the Jewish Meshumad, the Jewish Christian, looks at the rabbi, he's facing the rabbi, looks at the rabbi, and he turns against the rabbi, he waves his hand like this, and he walks away. And then the rabbi, he presented his sheet. Then the rabbi is supposed to respond to that. So the rabbi goes like this. So the governor, the Kesa, didn't understand the whole maduber. So he asks, he calls over the Meshumad, he calls over the Christian, and he asks them, what did you say? Was it Tugazok? Was it Tegazok? So he says, God rejected, the Jews rejected Jesus, so God threw away the Jewish people. Has to punish him. So he turns his back, turns back on the rabbi, and he goes like this, no more Jewish people, no more Amanivcha, we lost our status Amanivcha. That's what the Christians said for many, many years. Almost 2,000 years they were saying like that. The Jewish people lost their status as Amanivcha, and will never return back to Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is the Eretz HaNivcheres for the Amanivcha, and the Jewish people are no longer the Amanivcha. The Christians are the real Amanivcha. That's what they were preaching for so many years. And then he says, so what did the rabbi respond to you? He said, I have no idea what the rabbi said. So he asked the rabbi, what did he say? What did you say? He said, what did he say? Obvious. He's demonstrating that's the Christian sheet, that God rejects the Jewish people when no longer the Amanifra. What did you say? Oh, you're in the Tuya. And that's what the Mefarshim and the Gemara explained. That it doesn't mean, Hestepanim doesn't mean that there's no Hashgacha Pratis. No, the Rabbanu Shalom is punishing the Jewish people more than he punishes anybody else. Obviously, there is a Hashgacha Pratis. We can't see the Rabbanu Shel Olam, but he sees everything. He is Metzis Merach HaRakim. The Rabbanu Shel Olam sees everything. So the governor was angry at the Christian. He says, you have the chutzpah to give a debate in pantomime. You don't understand what your Baplukta is presenting to you. So he killed the Christian. Because he didn't understand what the rabbi was responding to him. But that's the Gemara that they base it on. That's the pshat and hester pun. If you look, there's a sefer on the Rambam that's called the Yad HaKtano. the Pesach Shuvan, Yerodeah quotes it every so often. It's an anonymously written. They say it was written by a businessman, by a Balabas. I don't know, but it's a Lamedish and Sefer. And the Pesach Shuvan quotes every so often. He has Chidushim. Hilchas Mili has a couple of Chidushim. Other places, in the beginning of the Rambam. It doesn't go too far. So the Arach Tana has this long Arichas where he explains that that's the Kavanah of the Gemara. And that's what's usually assumed, that the mitzvah of that the concept of Hester Panim doesn't mean that God no longer has Hashgacha Protus over the Jewish people and he just leaves us up to Mikri Hazman. It means that we cannot see him. He conveys the impression as if he's not there. But truth of the matter is that he is Meitzitz Minach HaRakim. He's peeking, he's watching everything that's happening and he's orchestrating everything from behind the scenes. We just can't see him. Then the Rabbanu Shlom tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Tzivu et Moshe and Moshe and Yoshua, Kisva lechem as Hashira hazos, v'lamdez b'nei Yisrael sima b'fihim. So in this pasuk there are two levels of interpretation. The Pshuta Shal Mikra is that the Shira is referring to Shira Sazinu. And Shira Sazinu was unlike Kol HaTarakula. The Netziv explains in his commentary on Chumash. Kol HaTarakula, Moshe Rabbeinu first delivered the Nevuah to b'nei Yisrael, and after delivering the Nevuah, then he would write it down. Hashem Ken Shira Sazina was the reverse. Kisva Lachem and then Valamda. First they were commanded, Moshe and Yeshua were commanded to write it down and then to recite it to Bnei Yisrael. The Gemara in Bava Basra has a Daf Yud Gimel, the Daf Yomi people just whizzed through it. Bava Basra has a Machlokes Hatanaim regarding the Shmoneh Psukim Shabbat Torah, the last eight Psukim in the Chumash that start from the Pasuk Vayom Hashem Moshe Eved Hashem, that describes the obituary of Moshe Rabbeinu. Was that written by Moshe Rabbeinu or was that written by Yeshua ben Nun? The pasuk in Sefer Yeshua says something about Yeshua ben Nun writing something. So one Tana says that's alluding to the writing of the Shmoneh Psukim Shabbat Torah. The other Tana says no, that's alluding to writing Sefer Yeshua. He wrote about the Dinah Mavari Miklut in Sefer Yeshua, but everything in the Chumash was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's a machlokes Satanoim. So the Gemara says, well, we have a special din, Shmonim Sukman Shabbat Torah, Yochid Kariyosim, has a different din in Hilchus Kriyas HaTorah, whatever that means. Yochid Kariyosim, five different Shatim that are quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. So does not seem to follow the opinion that those Shmonim Sukkim were not written by Moshe Rabbeinu. It was written by Yeshua. If everything was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, so why should the Shmonim Sukkim Shabbat Torah have a special din, have a different halacha of Kriyas HaTorah? So the Gemara says, no, Hel Vishtanu Vishtanu. All the Tanaim agree. Even if it was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, everybody agrees that it was a different type of ksiva from the rest of the Torah, because Kol HaTorah Kula HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oimer, Moshe Oimer V'Kosev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu Oimer V'Kosev. Umikan, the Eilach, the last Shmoneh Psukim Shabbat Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oimer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictates word for word to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Kosev Bedema. It's no longer Moshe Aimer V'Kosev, it's Moshe Kosev Bedema. Moshe Rabbeinu writes it in tears. So what does that mean, Aimer V'Kosev? That Moshe Rabbeinu is Aimer V'Kosev. So Tosis writes on Menachos, the same Gemara appears in Menachos. So the Tosis writes there Menachos, Mikan, Ktsas Remez. So this Gemara would seem to support a little bit the minig of the Sofrim, that when you write a Sefer Torah, so you have to copy it from another Sefer Torah that's in front of you. And then the minig of the Sofrim is quoted in the Yoredei is that Sefer is going to write Bereshis Bar Lakim. So he pronounces it. He says Bereshis Bar Lakim, and then he writes Bereshis Bar Lakim. He always pronounces it first with his lips. So Tosfos says it's a Ktsas Remez to the minig of the Sofrim that they pronounce the words before they write it. Because it says Moshe Oimer V'Kosev. So why is it a Ktsas Remez? Taka good mocker. Isn't that what it says in the Gemara? So Rav Soloveitchik said once in the name of Rav Chaim that the Pashup Shat in the Gemara Moshe Aimer V'Kosev is like the Netziv said over here on Parshas Vayelech, that on Kol HaTorah Kula except for Hazinu, Moshe Rabbeinu would deliver the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael first. And after delivering the Nevuah, then he would write it down. After he delivered it, then it's called Nevuah. Bore Nivs Vasayin. Nevuah means what, a message that you deliver to someone else. Afterwards, Chal Hashem Nevuah, because he delivers it to the Bnei Yisrael, then he wrote it down and he made it into Torah. And over here, he was commanded regarding Hazinu, Kisva Lachem first, Belamdez Bnei Yisrael second. First, he should write it down, and then he should teach it to Bnei Yisrael. So perhaps the Pashup Pshat in the Gemara, Tosfos also knew, the Pashup Pshat in the Gemara is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oimer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Nevuah to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Oimer V'Kosev, doesn't mean he mumbles the words. as he's writing, Omer means he delivers the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael. The Kaiser then, after he delivers Nevuah, then he writes it down. And over here, by the Shemona Psukim, the last eight Psukim in the Chumash, he never delivered the Nevuah. Well, it wasn't true. It's Moshe Kaiser Bedema. He just wrote it. Kadosh Baruch Hu dictated to him, and he wrote it because it hadn't yet happened. It's written by Loshanova, by Yom Hashem, by Yishev, and Hashem. See, he can't deliver it to Bnei, so it didn't happen yet. It's not a Nevuah lawsuit. That's going to be fulfilled. So it's Moshe Omer V'Kaisev. Moshe Omer V'Kaisev, and on the Shemona Psukim, it was just Moshe Kaiser Bedema. So that's the Pshuto Shal Mikra, that Kis V'Lechem Asa Shirazos is referring to Shiras Azino. And first they had to write it, and then they taught it to Bnei Yisrael, unlike the rest of Kol HaTorah Kula, that first Moshe Rabbeinu delivered the Nevuah, and then he would write it down. The Gemara has an additional level of interpretation, that a Melech is Mukhiv to write a second Sefer Torah. Everyone is Mukhiv to write, every Jewish man is Mukhiv to write one Sefer Torah, and the Melech is Mukhiv to write a second copy of the Sefer Torah. Some Tanayim, some of the Amoraim understand that's what it means. Kosovolos Mishnah HaTorah Zos. Mishnah HaTorah means a Sefer Torah Sheni, a second Sefer Torah. Everyone is Mukhiv to write one Sefer Torah, Melech has to write a second Sefer Torah. Other Tanoim understand the word Mishnah differently, that is referring to Ksav Shosed Lihishtanois, that the script of the Sefer Torah is going to change. That's what we assume, that originally the Sefer Torah in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu were written in Ksav Ivri or Ksav Livaynor, the old alphabet. And then in the days of Ezra, when Ezra came back from Bavel, the beginning of Baisheni, he changed the Ksav. So how does he have a right to change the Ksav? The answer is no. He was told B'nevuah. Moshe Rabbeinu was told B'nevuah. Mishnah Torah says it's going to be a Ksav Shosid L'Hishtanais. So Ezra got the Nevuah. Now is the time to change the Ksav. They had to change a few dinim. Now the only thing that's left, the only mitzvah that says in the Chumash is going to change it, we didn't change it yet, is the Ori Miklot, the Rambam writes. All the other dinim are not going to change. The Ori Miklot is going to be another three. When we will acquire Keni, Knizi, Kamani, we'll add on Yasafta Lecha, Ot Shalosh Olim, Ot Shalosh Arim, Ala Shalosh Oela. There are six Ori Miklot, three in Eretz Yisrael, three in Eibar Yarden. When we'll get there, it's Keni, Knizi, Kamani, the Rambam writes, we'll add on another three Ori Miklot. And the other Shinuyim, that in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, they added on Priya to the Milo, days of Avram, from the days of Avram Avinu to the days of Yeshua ben Nun, they only did Milo. They only cut off the thick skin. They didn't have to do anything with the lower membrane. And from the days of Yeshua ben Nun on, Shuv Moles ben Yisrael Shenis. You have to do a second Bris Milah. I can do a second Bris Milah if the first in person is Gamalt already. Can't do a second Bris Milah. So Gemara said in the Ramas, in Perikot, the answer is they had to do Priya from that time on. So that was told to Moshe Rabbeinu, Allah and Moshe Messina. There will come a generation where they're going to change it. So that was changed already. And the Ksav of the Sefer Torah was changed already. Other things were also changed. They were told that they're going to be changed. They were told in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, when the Jewish people are going to come to Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Tochal Balechem, when they come to Eretz Yisrael, they'll eat bread, delicious bread. They should say Berachos HaMosen, Al Eretz HaTorah Lashon HaSanloch. They should thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a din d'oraisa. You have to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for giving you Eretz Yisrael and for giving you Yerushalayim. Al Oretz is a reference to the second bracha, Eretz Yisrael. HaToiva is a reference to Hor HaToiva Zev HaHalvan, and that refers to Yerushalayim. And there were two aspects to Yerushalayim. The Beis HaMikdosh is in Yerushalayim, and it's the capital city, it's the Yir HaMelucha of Eretz Yisrael. So we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for both. So when he had the Beis HaMikdosh in Yerushalayim, so they thanked the Ribbono Shel Olam when David HaMelech moved his government offices, so to speak, to Yerushalayim. First he was a Melech in Hebron for a couple of years, then he became a Melech in Yerushalayim for 7 years and 33 years. So when he moved his capital to Yerushalayim, so then David HaMelech composed the Nusach, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Malchus Beis David in Yerushalayim. Then when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis Rishon, he added on the rest of that bracha, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the Beis HaMikdosh. So those Bedinim also that changed. It was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. In the Midbar they had bread and they thanked the Rabban Shalom for giving bread. We don't have to thank the Rabban Shalom for giving us Eretz Yisrael. We didn't have Eretz Yisrael yet. We didn't get Eretz. We had it. Eretz Yisrael Mechazakasim Yavaseinim Emeis Avraham Avinu. It belongs to the Jewish people from the days of Avraham Avinu, from the time that Avraham Avinu walked around the borders. So he acquired ownership then, but Poyal Mamish, he didn't have it until the days of Yeshua ben Nun. So after Yeshua ben Nun conquered Eretz Yisrael, so then the Gemara says, it was obligatory to change the din to add on to the Birchas HaMazon Derai. So they had to add on the second bracha. So Yeshua ben Nun composed the second bracha. Then when David HaMelech moved his capital from Hebron to Yerushalayim, it was a din Derai that the benching has to change. He has to add on a haidah, thanking the Rabbanu Shalom for giving us Malchus Beis David, situated in Yerushalayim. Then when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he had a din d'oraisa. He had to add on to the text of the third bracha to thank the Rabbanu Shalom for giving us the Beis HaMikdash. Now we don't have Malchus Beis David, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash anymore. So after the Churban, so they changed it. Rachem no, have Rachmanis on Tzion Mishkan Kvadecho, Malchus Beis David Mishichecho. That's not d'oraisa. The din d'oraisa is to thank the Rabbanu Shalom when you have Yerushalayim, and you have Malchus Beis David, you have a Beis HaMikdash. So these other, there are other dinim deraisa that changed over the years. They were all told to Moshe Rabbeinu that these dinim are going to be observed differently. The one and only din that didn't yet change is the 6 Ari Miklot changing into 9 Ari Miklot. That's how the Rama presents it. That's the only din that's going to change, because that's what it says in the Chumash, and that one didn't change yet. We didn't have a chance to change that yet. So again, so the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation in the pasuk. The Pshuta Shal Mikra is referring to Moshe and Yeshua Kisva Lechem Asa Shira Zois, writing down Shira Hazinu, and after writing it down, then presenting it to Bnei Yisrael. And the additional level of interpretation takes it that the Shira is a reference to Kol HaTorah Kula, and Kisva Lechem Asa Shira Zois, every Jewish man has an obligation to write a Sefer Torah. That's mitzvah number 613. One of the rabbis put out a book in English. Mitzvah 613, the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. That's this last mitzvah in the whole Sefer Torah, is that everyone should write a Sefer Torah. The Rambam writes the chiv to write a Sefer Torah is only obligatory on men. Women are not mechuyev. So the Shagasari picks on the Rambam. How does he know that women are not mechuyev to write a Sefer Torah? True, if a woman will write a Sefer Torah, it'll be possible. The Gemara learns that from Sukkim. In Gitan, Daf Memhem and Beis, the Isha is psula to write a Sefer Torah, but a woman is psula to write a mezuzah also. The woman is mechuyev to have a mezuzah on her doorpost. So how does she fulfill the mitzvah? She buys it from a Judaica store. She doesn't write it herself. So maybe the woman is mechuyev to commission a man to write a Sefer Torah for her. How did the Rambam know? Just because women are possible for ksivas Sefer Torah, women are possible for ksivas on mezuzah also, but the mechuyev a mezuzah. So maybe the women are mechuyev over here. Plus, he's saying, no, there by mezuzah, the ksiva is just the hechsha mitzvah. The mitzvah itself really is the kviyas ha-mezuzah. But here, the ksiva is the mitzvah. So what do you mean? The woman is going to appoint a male sefer as a shliach to write the sefer Torah for her. Isn't that in violation of the din milsa diyur lamotzi ovi shaliach lamotzi mashvi? The Gemara says in Nozir that in an area where, where's the Gemara Nozir? Davchot Beis or so? The Gemara says, Yud Aleph. Yeah, Yud Beis, something.
Yeah, so you
previously. I forgot already. Yeah. So the Gemara has a klal in Nazir. Let's say I fall in love with a non-Jewish girl, and she's going to convert. So I want to marry her, but I'm not going to be here when she converts. I'm going to be in South Africa. So I make a shliach now that the day she converts, he should be mekadosh the girl for me. So the Gemara says he can't make a shliach since I myself now cannot be mekadosh the girl because she's not Jewish. So milsa de'il la'motzi ovid shliach la'motzi mashvi. If I cannot do the kiddushah myself now, I don't have the ability to appoint the shliach to be mekadosh the isha either. So that's what some wanted to suggest. The reason why the Rambam assumes that women are not mechuyev in the mitzvah ksiva sefer Torah, because the woman herself is going to write the sefer Torah, is going to be posel. So what I'm going to say, the woman should appoint a man, a male sefer, as a shliach to write the sefer Torah for her. See, by the ksivas mezuzah, you don't have to appoint the sefer to write the mezuzah. The ksivas hamezuzah is a hechsha mitzvah. The mitzvah is the kviyas hamezuzah. Not a chsaftam. So that's not a problem of milsa diyola matzi avi shliach lamatzi mashma. But here the mitzvah of the ksiva sefer Torah. So the woman will have to appoint a man as a shliach to write the sefer Torah for her. So that's what some suggest. Maybe the Rambam feels that women are potter because it's a milsa diyola matzi avi shliach lamatzi mashma. So most of the achrayim hold that cannot be the reason. That doesn't apply over here. Milsa diyola matzi avi is only on a dovah shel abali yarlam if the girl didn't convert yet or something like that. I can't make a shliach to be mekadosh a girl who didn't convert yet. A case like that where I'm lacking bailus. But here it's not a din lacking bailus. Allah says if I write to Sefer Torah is pasul, so they assume that the klal shouldn't apply. So that's why the Shagasar disagrees with Duran. He thinks that women are also mechuyev in ksiva Sefer Torah. For many generations, how did anybody fulfill a mitzvah? They didn't have so much money. The Jews were not able to write so many Sefer Torah. So they used to, every 50 years, the Jewish community would raise money, and they would commission a Sefer to write a Sefer Torah. And since the Sefer was paid by all of the whole community together, so they fulfilled the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, Bishutfis. That's a big machlokes, the Pischi Tshuva quotes, is one of fulfillment of the mitzvah if you write a Sefer Torah, Bishutfis.
But Ksiva Sefer Torah is
That's what the Beis Halevi explained, right? The Beis Halevi has in the first chelek, he quotes the Shagasari who disagrees with the Rambam. So he says, no, the reason why the Rambam holds the women are potter is because the Torah gives the mitzvah and gives the reason for the mitzvah right in the same pasuk with the mitzvah. Kisva lechem asashira hazos, according to this additional level of interpretation, refers to Ksiva Sefer Torah. Then it says, v'lamdes be'esos ima b'fiyem. The purpose of Ksiva Sefer Torah is that everyone should learn Torah. So men who are mechuyev in Talmud Torah are mechuyev to write the Sefer Torah. Women are not mechuyev in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, so they're not mechuyev in Ksiva Sefer Torah. That's what the Beis Halevi says. That here, everyone will agree Dashinan time in the Krua. Whenever the Pasuk writes the mitzvah, and writes the reason right next to the mitzvah. So whenever the reason doesn't apply, so the mitzvah doesn't apply. Yeah, that's in the Beis Halevi and Chelek Aleph, I think, Sin Evov. Beis Halevi writes like that. But this was a famous problematic Rambam, that the Rambam says that the women are not mechuyev. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be more the approach of the Rosh, that you could buy a swarm nowadays, and be also the Rambam calls the
The Tur quotes from the Rosh that Bizman Hazeh, that people are not in the practice of learning from a Sefer Torah, so the way to, proper way to fulfill a mitzvah is by buying a Jewish library. So that's a question, Shaila, that Beis Yosef and that Bach, what did the Rosh mean to say? The Rosh meant to say to replace the Sefer Torah. We no longer have a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah at all. The only way to fulfill a mitzvah is by buying a Jewish library, by printing a Jewish library. That's what it means. Or the Rosh meant to say, in addition to writing a Sefer Torah, you also have to have a whole library. So that's a machlokes achronim. What did the Rosh mean? Yeah. This question that the achronim debated, whether one is in fulfillment of the mitzvah of ksiva Sefer Torah b'shutfis, that was a practice many generations. Every 40, 50 years, the community would gather together money and they would commission a Sefer to write a Sefer Torah. And the assumption was that everybody who participated was Yotzei the Mitzvah, they should. Even if they participated by giving a few dollars, each one gave, or even if they didn't give a few dollars, they would participate by writing an ois. So if I wrote an ois, so that ois is ma'akev. Every ois in the Sefer Torah is ma'akev. So that was a big debate whether Yotzei the Mitzvah, they should. The Gemara in the end of Chulin has a whole sugya. Which mitzvahs do you fulfill only if there's sole ownership? Let's say we assume that a lulav and an estrig has to belong to me exclusively. If the lulav and estrig is owned by shutfim, so you're not yotze. It's a question if that should be really the psak, but that's what we assume, that is the psak. If it's owned by shutfim, so you're not yotze, it has to belong to me solely. So the Gemara develops a klal. The Gemara has about 10 dinim. The Gemara says 5 dinim have to be are noyeg b'shutfis, and 5 dinim don't apply whenever it's b'shutfis. Gemara says, what's the klal? So the klal is, whenever it's written b'loshen rabim, then it applies b'shutfis. Whenever it's written b'loshen yochid, then it doesn't apply b'shutfis. Here it says, kisvolachem is b'loshen rabim. So this should be a dead giveaway based on the klal that the Gemara said, whenever the mitzvah is written b'loshen rabim, so it can be fulfilled b'shutfis. So some of the other achrayim, the Sridi Yesh has a chul about this. He quotes a likud of achrayim. Some of the other achrayim say, not only do we not have the ability to darshan psukim on our own, we don't even have the ability to apply the Gemara's klal to new cases. The Gemara said that is the klal. Whenever it's written in Chumash, Balosh and Rabim, and the mitzvah can be fulfilled, the shutfis, and if you apply to this pasuk, it should follow that the mitzvah of Ksiva Sarater can be fulfilled, the shutfis. So the Achranim say, not only do we not have the ability to darshan on our own psukim, we don't have the ability to apply the klal that the Gemara has. Maybe for some reason or another that klal shouldn't apply over here. So that's a shaila. That's why many people who are wealthy, who can afford to commission a sefer to write a sefer Torah, will choose to be machmir, not to rely on the shita that you yotze b'shutfis, and they want to write their own sefer Torah. Then it's a further shaila. What do you do after you commission the sefer to write a sefer Torah? What are you going to do with a sefer Torah in your house? So you got to donate it to the shul. So when you donate the Torah, Sefer Torah to the Shul, no longer belongs to you. Have you just ruined the mitzvah? Now you got to commission a Sefer to write another Sefer Torah? What do you say? No. What's the nature of the mitzvah? The mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is that I should always have a Sefer Torah available whenever I need to look something up. I should have a Sefer Torah available. Or no, maybe the nature of the mitzvah is that we should have a ribui Sefer Torah in the world so that the text of the Sefer Torah won't be distorted and won't be forgotten. That's a machlekes achrenim. Also, the Pesach Teshuva quotes a big machlekes achrenim. if one commissions a sefer to write a sefer Torah, then he gives it away to the shul, and it doesn't belong to him anymore. Has he just ruined the mitzvah? He just lost the mitzvah? Oh no, he made a ribui sefer Torah in the shul, in the world, so he has fulfilled the mitzvah. At the end of Parshas Vayelech, we have the letter Vav, V'yoida b'mes ha-shamayim es ha-oretz, the letter Vav that's supposed to be on the top of the column. Many of the Sofrim have a minig, they write Vav ha-amudim. They try to write, every column starts with a Vav. But that's a minig, and this is a real din. According to the Masar, this is a real din, that there are six columns that have to begin with these six letters. Bereshis, the Sefer Torah has to begin, first column has to begin with a letter base, Bereshis. That's a dead giveaway. Okay, that we know. Then in addition to the first column has to begin with a base, the other six are base Yud Hei Shin Mem Vav. Because Shemo, that's the Simen, because Shemo. So this is a Diwan and Achrenim. Some Achrenim hold that this is Li'ikuvah. If you don't have the column beginning, well, Bereshis is a dead giveaway, that's not a Shaila. But if you don't have the column beginning with the letter V'o'idah Bam, the whole Sefer Torah will be puzzled. There is such an opinion. There is such an opinion. There is a Machlekes. The two traditions, what is the Yud? Base Yud, hey, what is the Yud? Is it Yehuda Ato Yoducha Achecha? Is it the word Yehuda or is it the word Yoducha? So if it's the word Yoducha, we always do Yehuda. But if it's other Rishonim, other Balei Masar claim that it's Yoducha. So if it's Yoducha, that has to be on the top of the column. So the bottom line, there's a Psucha before Yehuda Ato. So the last line is just going to say Yehuda Ato, and there are five letters in Yehud and three letters in Ato, adds up to eight letters. Eight letters on a line is possible even by the Yevid. You have to have nine letters on a line. So how can anybody in his right mind say that the Yud of base Yud Hey is Yoducha, then right before Yehud is a Psucha, and you're going to have only eight letters on the line? So the answer in the Sifrei HaMasar, the answer, no, this is Ma'akev. On the one hand, the nine letters, a minimum of nine letters on a line is Li'ikuva, but this is more Li'ikuva, so it has to be Yoducha, it shouldn't be Yehuda. That's not the general practice. We don't do Yoducha, we do Yehuda. And we hold that the Beis Yud Hei Shin Mem Vav is not Li'ikuva, but I'm just mentioning it. You should know that there are some Rishonim, there are some Balei Masor who have the opinion that it is Li'ikuva. So at the end of Parshas Vayelech is the final letter, the Vav of B'kos Shemo. Then the Gemara in the end of Masechta Shabbos has a debate among the Tanoim. One Tana says, "Asira Torah shetishtakach miYisrael, the Torah will be forgotten from the Jewish people, that a woman will come with a loaf of bread to the Beis Hamikdash and she'll ask whether the loaf of bread is kosher or treif. There'll be such amiratzas, the people will know." And then the Tana Reb Shimon Bar Yochai says, "Chas v'shalom shetishtakach Torah miYisrael, cannot be, it'll never happen. The Torah promises us, Ki lo sishachach mi pizaro, ki adaiti asitzro. The Rabbanu Shalom promises at the end of Vayelech, the Torah will never be forgotten. It looks like the Torah is forgotten. No, so Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, if you have a shaila in Hilchas Kashrus, there is an expert somewhere in the world. He may not be in Washington Heights, but there is somebody in Bnei Brak who knows. If you have a shaila in Hilchas Taras HaMishpocha, there may be an expert who lives in South Africa. You don't know who he is. There is an expert. The whole Torah has not been forgotten. Nothing has been forgotten. The people that you bump into, your rabbi, the rabbis that you ask the shad, they may not know the dinim, but the Rabbanu Shalom saw to it that the Torah is not being forgotten. That's what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says. That's why on the kever, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Meiron said they have this written, Ki lo sishachach mi pizaro, and the Safi Tevis spell out Yochai. Ki is a yud, and zaro is a vav, and shishachach is a ches, and lo is an aleph, and mi pi is a yud. Yochai, yud, vav, ches, aleph, yud. When you look in the Kever Hashem Mechais, it has the last letter, has a dot on top of it to indicate this Safi Tevis, that the Safi Tevis of this pasuk Kilo Shachom Piperi Zaro is Yochai, because Reb Shimon Bar Yochai was the one who made this comment in the Gemara. The Noda Bihuda was opposed to Hasidus. The Baal Shem Tov for a while lived in Noda Bihuda, they lived in the same little village in Poland. And Mrs. Noda Bihuda was a cousin of the Baal Shem Tov. And Nadi Behuda didn't go for the whole story. So there was once an incident. They had a shaila in Hilchas Treifas, so they showed the organ of the animal to Nadi Behuda. He had to work hard, He looked in the other day, worked hard, he came out to Hakel. He said that the animal is kosher. So the Baal Shem Tov happened to be there, so he said he knew that it was kosher without working so hard. It had a roch atahara. He saw that the behema had a roch atahara, so he knows that it's kosher. So the Navi Yehuda didn't like this whole attitude, the roch atahara business. So he supposedly he made this comment on the Gemara that he was always bothered with this Gemara. The Gemara says, "Al siro torah shetushtakach miyisod." This Gemara on the end of Masechah Shabbos, where Reb Shimon Bar Yochai says it's not going to happen. So the first Tana says the Torah will be forgotten, that a woman will come to the Beis Medrash with a loaf of bread, and she's going to ask whether it's kosher or treif. So he says, if you come with the shayla on a treifus, so you have to look at the organ to see where the puncture is. What does it look like? Come with shayla on a mare, and Isha has a mare and dam tome. You have to look, is it a mare tome? Is it a mare toho? How big is it? But you come with a shayla on a loaf of bread, so what is there to look at the loaf of bread? Either the pot was treif ben yoma, ena ben yoma, either you have shishim, you don't have shishim. How's it going to help if you look at the loaf of bread? He didn't understand either. When did the Rabbanim forget the learning? The Rabbanim learn in the yeshivas and they get smicha, they learn Shulchan Aruch. When do they forget? When the Balabatim don't ask any shalach. If the Balabatim keep you on your toes and they keep on asking shalach, then you're not going to forget. You're going to have to keep on looking up the dinim and Shulchan Aruch to see. So if Anisha, a woman, is going to come to ask a shalach on a loaf of bread, so the Rabbanga have to be working hard, so they're not going to forget the learning. Teretz is, they're going to forget the learning. And they're going to have to bring the loaf of bread to see if it has a roch atahara or not. That's called shikra satar. That's how they say the Nadav Yehuda made such a comment. They have such nasty remarks that the Nadav Yehuda made against. He thought, he has tshuvas against. He thought he was not happy with the movement that the Baal Shem Tov started. They have a lot of different stories. Okay. Tomorrow, I'd like to learn the regular time. What's the regular time? 12:45. And we'll continue in Chulin. Wherever. We're up to Davar Mamid, the Mishnah of Arizora. Mamid. Okay.